Well, hello everyone. This is Robin Duncan, and today our topic for miracles in EFT is on self-judgment, guilt, and inadequacy. And all of this is based on the principles of A Course in Miracles. And in this series, we combine EFT with those powerful spiritual principles of A Course in Miracles, and this is how I have found remarkable results. It's almost like a you cannot go wrong kind of combination, because you have your higher wisdom always guiding you, and then you have this wonderful technique called EFT that truly helps you to release and let go of all of those old negative feelings and emotions from the past. In A Course in Miracles, in chapter 21, section number 7, paragraph number 1, it says, "Do you not see that all your misery comes from the strange belief that you are powerless? No one believes the Son of God is powerless, and those who see themselves as helpless must believe that they are not the Son of God. What can they be except His enemy? This is your one decision. This the condition for what occurs. It is irrelevant to how it happens, but not to why. You have control of this, and if you choose to see a world without an enemy, in which you are not helpless, the means to see it will be given you." And I'll repeat that last line, or last couple of lines. It is one of my favorites, and my husband and I like to remember it time and time again. If you choose to see a world without an enemy in which you are not helpless, the means to see it will be given you. Now, you might think that's impossible. You know, you look out into the world and there's clearly plenty of evidence to indicate that the world has an enemy, and there are many enemies, and in fact, there are governments that are fully involved in trying to fight what we might call the enemy. Or we might see an enemy in illness, or even conflict in relationship. Or perhaps we see an enemy in ourselves. We see ourselves as less than whole. Somehow we have this dark spot where God would know only the light within us. So we look outward and we see what appears to be darkness. But the reason we see all that is because we accepted that crazy mad idea about separation, thinking we are separate from God and from each other. Now, some people think, well, I've heard that again and again, and let's move on. But yet, let's come back to it. Because when we think we are one with God, and you know there is no opposite, and you know that God is all-powerful, all-wise, all-loving, eternal, has the answer to everything, created you to be happy and to know His love, the greatness of His blessings, and to experience only light and joy and peace. Remember, there's no opposite. Now, if you truly knew that, you would have no fear of any kind. And yet we do have fear. And fear has many forms. Sometimes it's a fear of not being sure of what will happen in the future. Or sometimes it's a fear of loss, or that you might not say the right thing or do the right thing. You see, time and again, we put it on our shoulders to try to figure out what we should do, how we should do it, and try to navigate this path of obstacles. And most of the time, we run right into them, or worse yet, they run right over us. What we are learning through A Course in Miracles is that the divine plan does not depend on us. For me, that was kind of a surprise. Now, I'd heard it my whole life, you know, this thing called the divine plan. I had heard that God loves me, thank goodness. I had heard that there is this divine plan. But somewhere along the way, as fear began to enter my mind and certain things didn't turn out so well, well, you know, we all start to figure out how we can navigate or defend against pain happening or having a bad experience again. So without realizing it, we give ourselves this center stage role within our own experience where we think it's up to us to make the decisions, call the shots, make sure that something bad doesn't happen. And we learn to live our lives in defense. And then because we're coming from our own plan, which we cannot know the details that need to happen or unfold in order to ensure a happy, peaceful, positive outcome for everyone involved. So we're really navigating from a place of a lack of understanding. And then when things don't turn out so well because the foundation we are drawing from is flawed, well, then we see what we experience, and then we use that bad experience that we projected from our mind, and we revalidate that we are not safe, we are not loved, we are vulnerable, and that we better defend even more to keep that from happening again. And we get stuck in this endless cycle of defending and maybe even attacking. Now, you may not see yourself as an attacking person, but even with your thoughts and my thoughts, you know, we can hold thoughts that are not so loving and maybe judgmental, maybe very attacking, maybe very hurtful, but we can go back and turn those thoughts over and ask for a healed perception in their place. But let's learn above all, let's not use what we see with our eyes to validate our condition. You know, if you look into your wallet and it's empty or it doesn't have as much as you'd like, you'd be very tempted to use what you see to validate that you are lacking or that you need to worry about the future or you need to be scared about that next expense that's coming through. You see, if you do it that way, this is the one way to ensure that your experience of lack will not change anytime soon. Because you're using an effect, which is what you see, to validate the original unhealed thought, which is about lack and separation. So you're using what you see to validate the thought that produced it. And you see, you reinforce it again and again and again, and then you wonder why it feels like you're kind of in a dryer and you're being tossed around in the same cycle over and over again. So the one quick way to stop all that is we must look at the areas where we are holding on to our false beliefs and our false image of ourselves. We must take a look at that, not so we can heal it, but so that we can really be willing to let it go. You see, you can't really let go of something that you're not aware of. And if you've buried it deep in your subconscious mind, well, that's a very safe place to keep it out of heaven's reach so that it cannot be healed. But we are going to open up that emotional vault. We're going to go into that closet. We'll do it together. And we're just going to look at things one by one and see if we haven't packed away a few judgments against ourselves. Now, last week we talked about judgments towards others in the form of anger and frustration and even resentment. So if you haven't cleared those judgments you have against other people and you still feel some anger, upset, frustration coming up on you, then you go back to that script and you keep turning inward and looking for those places in your mind where it felt like someone wronged you or they hurt you or they took something from you, they withheld something from you, and use that script to release all those old negative feelings and emotions, because until those are released, it's really hard to see it differently. You know, I call it a bear trap, and when you're standing in the pain of a bear trap, and even if I was trying to tell you the greatest secrets of life, you wouldn't really want to hear it. You would want to know, how do I get out of this bear trap? You know, it doesn't make sense to have a conversation when you're still feeling the charge of the pain. So be sure that you go back, turn inward, ask Holy Spirit for guidance to take you back to those times that you felt wronged by another. Edit those words as you need to make them personal. and release and release and release some more until you can't find one more of those old negative charges. And I'll tell you what, you will see miracles. And you will see shifts in your relationships. You will see people doing things and saying things that are loving and kind and considerate. Perhaps people that used to be very challenging in your life. So let's allow those miracles to come forward. And we're rolling up our sleeves here. And today we are looking at self-judgment, guilt, and inadequacy. Now in the teacher's manual in section number 7, it talks about doubt, which I like to think of as self-doubt, because there's only one of us here. You know, if we're doubting anything or anyone, it's really ourselves and the God intelligence that flows through us. So every time you doubt, I want you to think about that you did not create yourself. You are the effect of God. You are the holy child of God. So every time you go to a place of doubt, you are judging your creator. You think you might be judging yourself, but actually you're judging your creator. And in the teacher's manual, it says, the real basis for doubt about the outcome of any problem that has been given to you for resolution is always self-doubt. And that necessarily implies that trust has been placed in an illusory self. For only such a self can be doubted. This illusion can take many forms. Perhaps there is a fear of weakness and vulnerability. Perhaps there is a fear of failure and shame associated with a sense of inadequacy. Perhaps there is a guilty embarrassment stemming from false humility. The form of the mistake is not important. What is important is only the recognition of a mistake as a whole. Now, what we're saying here is that when you have doubt, it pretty much means that you have put yourself back in the driver's seat. You have put yourself back on center stage, and you've gone back to thinking it is up to you to find your way out of your perceived problem. This is a sure way to delay the solution that you are seeking. So let's be willing to not go to that place of thinking that it's up to us. In fact, you can say to yourself, it is not up to me. I do not know the answer. I cannot know the answer. You cannot know the answer because there is a divine constellation of experiences, events, circumstances, details that understands everything about everyone, past, present, and in the future. And that divine intelligence is what is guiding and directing the show, if you will allow it. But when we become afraid, it's very tempting to go back to those old habits of thinking we have to solve this. And let's just stop and not go there. The minute you start to feel your fear, you can turn inward and say, I abandon my need to solve this myself, and I am willing to turn this over. Let's make that reservation for peace. We've talked about it many times. And let's be willing to refuse to go into scribing a bad story, a bad ending to our situation. Put the pen down in your mind. Leave those pages blank. You know, a doctor could have just said to you, you have a terminal illness. You have 2 weeks to live. Well, if you don't do anything with that thought, that would clearly be terrifying for many people. And it would be easy to pick up that pen in your mind and start writing like crazy and start writing down all the things that you need to do in your last 2 weeks of life. Now, that might be wise for some, but if you could realize that hearing that you have 2 weeks to live due to a reason that you did not decide, let's say, that's really a form of sabotaging yourself. It's really a form of letting something that seems to be outside of you determine or even dictate how long you will live, what your experience will be, and how you need to respond to this. So the moment that happens, I'm sure there's not a sense of peace, at least not for most. So the moment your peace is disturbed, you know you are listening to your ego. Divine love will never, ever disturb your peace. Divine love will always love you, guide you, bring you an answer, show you the way, enlighten you, and help you understand what needs to be looked at so that you can let go of what is not true, so that what is true can be remembered and you can get back to the happiness that is rightfully yours. Now, that's tough to do if somebody just gave you a sentence of some kind, but that is the primary time to make that choice. So you can do a quick prayer. Dear God, I've just been given this terrible information, and I'm very tempted to decide against myself and go into fear, but I ask that you decide for me. I don't want to make this decision. I'm going to turn it over. You write the ending to this story. I want peace. I want happiness. I want the life that is your will for me. So I refuse to accept anything else, anything less. I am your holy child, worthy of everything good, the finest that life has to offer. So thank you for guiding me, showing me what needs to happen, but I want peace. And I ask that you accomplish that peace on my behalf. And now we step back and let him lead the way, meaning let divine consciousness show you what needs to happen to ensure peace for everyone involved. That can be tricky, especially depending upon how much fear you are in at the time.